don't know where to start after that song. What an incredible thought. Just to think about the gospel that is captured in that hymn is so powerful. And I hope at every occasion, and no matter when we gather to worship, that at the heart of it is the reminder of what God, through Christ, has done for us. My chains are gone. The thing that used to hold me captive and in bondage no longer has power over me. Sin in Christ is powerless. The death sentence that was given to me is gone. There is no chain of death. That in Christ we've been set free. Amazing grace, unending joy. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. Today is a special day, as every Lord's Day is, but this is special in a unique way, in the sense that part of our future is being set forth, and our excitement about the opportunities that God lays before us. And so this is a great day in our history, as we will install new elders and new deacons today, and we're excited about that and wanted to share that as a church. Always as we start, I loved, you know, the smiles. And we caught a group of our young folks hanging out on both sides. This was during the Freed Hardeman thing, and our C-20s all piled in the wagon out there. And then our ladies from some of the late night empty nesters runs to Zaxby's, I think. And I slipped in to see if there were leftovers. This was our suit, guys, a few months back. And I thought that was a powerful, making the Jerry face. Had to bring that back. Saw a couple of them have got them on. This is Caden Nichols. Did our men's breakfast devotional this past Thursday. He's there. Logan invited him, and the next thing you knew, he was doing the Devo. And so Logan had done it the week before. Appreciated that. Great time. And then the patriarch. Where is Mr. Riley? Yes. Right there in the middle with two of my favorite Rileys. There are a few more Rileys around, but these are two of my favorites. And then the descendants. And look at that little fella driving a bus. It just runs in the genes, doesn't it? What a good thing. So, and this is a birthday celebration. I don't know about this one, you know. That's a woman that looks like she knows how to sling an axe. So, Dustin, you have been warned, okay? And then just some of our champions. I mean, what about Mr. Ruiz going to state and a little running situation? I had to save, you know, kind of cull the picture selections, though it was very tempting. I was tempted. But and then when our horse rider, and then look at just that little smile on the left. Holy moly. Family. I don't know if you wonder sometimes, why does he share those pictures? Well, because we're part of a family. And family is a beautiful thing. And one of the things that I hope that you see in today's time together in our study is just the blessing of what happens when families do what families were created to do. They grow. They love, they encourage, and they multiply, and they expand their circle and sphere of influence. And what a blessing it is for us as a family to think about the way in which our family has grown, and to think about what it is that God is doing here, because it is God's work. It is not our work. It is not any one of us or any group of us. We are all part of this family. And so I think about it, and I want to start out with just a brief look, because I could kind of go all day talking about some things, but I wanted to just do a brief look and thinking about how God used leaders in times past. We remember, maybe you're familiar with the redemption of God's people as they were coming out of Egypt. They had been in bondage. They had been in literal chains, serving a different sort of master in Pharaoh. And God, through Moses, leads them out. And Moses has an apprentice. He has one who is his sidekick, as it were, or maybe it was the one that he was mentoring for the future. And I think in a lot of ways, I look at leadership and I realize that leadership is about mentoring the next generation. Moses had mentored Joshua. Joshua went up on the mountain with him. Sometimes we forget that when Moses went to receive the Ten Commandments, Joshua was a part of that journey. Joshua was part of the future when they went to spy out the promised land. We're remembering there were 10 that saw bad and 2 that saw good, and it was Joshua and Caleb that were those that had vision enough to see and faith enough to believe in the fact that God can take this land with, He can use us to take this land. And that's Joshua. And it would be Joshua that when Moses knows his death is imminent, he is basically ordained, or he is given the task of leading God's people in the next phase. That's Joshua. He was a man of faith, a man of preparation, a man who had been willing to be mentored, now a man who was willing to take the lead. It was in Joshua chapter 1 when Joshua is given this charge after the death of Moses, when he says to Joshua, "No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. For just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. So be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." You see, the only difference in the people under Joshua's lead and the people under Moses' lead was that the people under Moses' lead would become grumblers and complainers, and that leadership was not able to take them into the promised land because of that grumbling. Joshua would become a leader, and after that period of time, he would be one that would take them into the next phase or the next season of God's people, the promise. They would inherit the land God had promised to them. But in the meantime, there was a space in which Joshua is appointed. Some might say he was ordained. If you looked at Numbers chapter 27, I want to just read a few passages and kind of share this thought. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua the son of Nun with you, the man in whom the Spirit of the Lord is. Lay your hand on him, set him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all of the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of Urim. And at his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, and he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and he took Joshua and he set him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation, and he laid his hands on him, and he inaugurated him just as the Lord had commanded.'" You see, there's an example of bringing leaders before God's people, laying hands on them, praying over them, and asking God's blessing to be upon them. And we see that in the leadership and in the transition of Joshua as he becomes the leader of God's people. He was set before the people. The people were encouraged to see him as a leader. He was given a commission to lead Israel. And Moses ordained him. He approved him. He installed him in that leadership role. It's kind of similar to what happens in Acts chapter 7 when the apostles realize, hey, we've got a need for more servants. There are more people than we can feed and take care of in the church. And we don't need to quit teaching the gospel, and we don't need to quit preaching and to feed and to take care of tables. So we need more people to serve. And they installed what we commonly refer to as the first set of deacons, the first 7. Well, today we're blessed to inaugurate 6 new deacons into our work here, as well as 2 new elders into our work. And as we study together today, and as we use this time as part of our study to before this congregation, to bring those men forward, to bring our current elders forward, to bring our new deacons forward and to pray with them and pray over them. I want this to be a time of challenge, but also a time of encouragement and study as well. I want you to think about a look at a shepherd for a moment. Many of us, when we were kids, learned the 23rd Psalm, perhaps. Maybe some of you are in the process and you're trying to learn that now. There's some really cool videos that my wife uses in kindergarten. They're kind of cool, but you can learn it there if you want to do that. But others have learned it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I think about the 23rd Psalm and I think, what does it teach us about being a shepherd in the church? What does it teach us about who we are asking our men who serve in this capacity to be? And I think about some things that kind of have caught my attention through the text. The Lord is my shepherd. Being a shepherd is a role that is a personal role. You need to have connection with the flock. There needs to be some way in which you are heard and they listen as well to you. There is a personal relationship in being a shepherd. He says, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. What's that about? That's a shepherd is concerned about our well-being. Do you realize that as we serve and as we worship and as we work together in the body of Christ, that these men are in charge of our spiritual well-being? Just like that shepherd on the hillside, making sure this was a body of water that the sheep would drink from because it would be dehydrated in a rumbling water that it was scared to drink from. It was a still water he found. A green pasture that it would feed from and it would be able to be healthy. Our elders are here, our shepherds are here to be sure that we're spiritually healthy, that we're led to the water of life, that we're able to drink, and that we have harmony in the family. He's concerned. He's also connected. How can he lead me in paths of righteousness if he's not walking in paths of righteousness? If he's a shepherd that leads me, there's a connection and there's a relationship and there's a feeding and leading and protecting. He's with us in bad times. The scripture speaking of the Father, our Lord, the shepherd, Jesus in John chapter 10, John 15 talks about this idea of being the shepherd and the sheep gate, and this relationship we have with the Father. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me through paths, the death's darkest valleys. And one of the things about an elder is that you're called to walk with the flock in the dark moments of life, in the hard moments of life. Some of you have been there, some of you have walked those trails and those paths, and you need to know you're not going to walk them alone in this family. That there are people that love you and care about you, but they're specifically shepherds that are here to be with you. And I think there is a sense in which he says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I always kind of wondered about that. Have you ever thought about the fact that part of God wants to bring peace in situations of difficulty? In places where there's conflict, God wants to bring peace. That a shepherd is called to be a peacemaker. And I see that at the table in the presence of mine enemies. But I also think about this, that the shepherd is soul-focused. He's concerned about the righteousness of his sheep. He's concerned about the eternity, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That no matter what comes and goes, that is at the heart of the focus of God's shepherds. There's a passage in Ezekiel, and I'm grateful today to Brother Dan and another brother, friend of mine, Stephen Sutton and Stephen Rogers that have kind of helped. Because I've in 28 years of ministry, I've never had the task of this message, of being able to do this in a congregation. And it's a blessing. And so I'm grateful for that help. But I think about in Ezekiel 34, God's people, there were shepherds of the people of Israel. And they didn't always do it right. And what I wanted to do is not to call out anything, but to say, look at what God looks as sort of a measuring stick of things for us to concern ourselves with as we lead in this family. As we think about the eldership and we think about God's men and what a blessing our leaders here are and what a gift they've been in this church. But the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel and he's telling him to give this prophecy to those shepherds of Israel. And he says, beginning in verse 2, he says, Thus says the Lord God, in chapter 34, all shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat and you clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you don't feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with forth and harshness you have ruled them. So they scattered because there were no shepherd. I want you to just think about that just in a little bit, because we want to take those, that harsh critique of Israel shepherds, and flip it to the positive as we think about what it is for a shepherd to lead a people. He says, they're to feed us. There are not many Sundays that you're going to come, or Wednesdays, where you're not finding one of our elders teaching a class somewhere in this building. Whether it's in a large room like this one, or if it's in one of the back rooms, or our shepherds are teachers, they are feeders. They're concerned about who's teaching our classes and what we are teaching in these classes. They want us to be well fed. Not only that, Ezekiel talks about you haven't strengthened the weak. Man, when we're weak, we need to be strengthened. Not only in our faith, sometimes it's just in our disposition, or we're discouraged and we need help. They mend the broken. They bring us back when we wander. And they seek the lost. That's the kind of heart that our elders have. That's the kind of heart that these two men that are being installed today have. And so, at this point, as we think about this moment, I want to invite all of our shepherds to the stage, our current elders to the stage that are here. I know we have I think we're all here today. So y'all just come down, because as we think about this, one of the things that we do, we had two of our current elders, Garth and Chester, that were being reaffirmed. And so that's very important that they have agreed to continue to serve as elders. And I'm going to slide over to the side. And so we're grateful for that, for their willingness. We are blessed with a fantastic group of men. I'm now figuring out that it's because of the width of the stage that we haven't added new elders. But is it the width of the stage or the width of... Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Oh, sorry. Too many milkshakes in the meetings. But we're thankful to you as a congregation for the participation over the last several weeks in this process. And so today we're grateful to introduce Steve Moffitt and Jerry Morgan as two of our new elders. And if you men would come, we want to recognize you, and we want to have a special prayer for you. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Garth to lead us in that prayer for these two new elders.
Will you pray with me, please? Almighty and ever-loving God, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of us, the all-knowing, the all-present, the all-truth, the all-love, our God and our Father. You taught us to pray for ourselves and for others, and to give thanks for all life. May every grace of ministry rest on all of us as elders, but now especially on Jerry and Steve. We're grateful for Jerry and Steve for aspiring to the office of overseer, of elder, of shepherd. We're grateful, Father, for the congregation presenting these two gentlemen and their families to us to serve as elders. We're grateful, Father, for it says in 1 Timothy 3 that they desire a noble task. Father, we've found that these gentlemen are noble, are above reproach. They are the husband of one wife. And to Leah and Mickey, we pray that you will be supportive of Steve and Jerry, that the task that they take on is noble, but it is also very trying and can be very stressful at times, Father. And we pray that you can be there to support them and to understand that sometimes between the eldership and God, there are things that we present that we cannot present to others, we cannot present to our spouses. Father, it's a heavy burden that we do bear, but we know, Father, that you are there, and you are there to help us through difficult times. These gentlemen are above reproach, sober-minded, self-controlled. They're respectful, hospitable. They are not akin to strong drink. They're not violent, but gentle. They're not quarrelsome. They're not lovers of money. They manage their own households well, and their children are submissive. They're not recent converts. They are thought well of by outside the church. Father, keep them strong and faithful, that your church may prosper in peace. Grant them wisdom, courage, direction, and benevolence, that they may fulfill this charge to the glory of Jesus Christ. Inspire your whole church with your spirit of power, unity, and peace. Grant all who trust you may live together in love and harmony and unity. Church, we present these gentlemen to you. God our Father, we present them to you as ordained elders. We love you, Father. We're grateful for Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Charge to our elders as shepherds of this flock. As God was with Moses and Joshua, so he will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So be strong and of good courage. As Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:3, be examples to the flock. As Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As shepherds, Paul spoke to the church in Acts 20, and he said, and those elders, therefore take heed to yourself and to all of the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. As Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as overseers, not of compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly. Nor to be lords over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will also receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. To all of our shepherds, in your work with this flock, know them. Show interest in them. When they hurt, hurt with them. When they rejoice, rejoice with them. When they have successes, commend them. When they have failures, encourage them. Love them, protect them, lead them in the ways of the Lord, and when they stray, bring them back. We pray you do not allow sin to be tolerated in this congregation. May we obey the Lord only, and may he give us a home in heaven one day. We're grateful for these men, and now it's a blessing for me to be able to introduce to you our new deacons as well. And I want to ask you to stay as we pray over them. Y'all can come to the floor because they're going to be down there if y'all would. Chester's kind of shy. You know, I think about the charge to our deacons, and I think when Jesus washed the disciples' feet in John 13, he modeled for us the image of a servant. And that the word deacon literally means to be a servant and to serve the church. And there are specific ways and different needs at different times. And we look for opportunities and we look for places in which we can grow the work. And we're grateful that there have been those appointed at this time who will take different areas of work. And I've included that in our bulletin articles, and you might check that, see that. But I want to invite our new deacons who are being added today, Tim and CL, David, Todd, Will Kersey, David Zimmerly, and Mark Ballinger to the front as we will pray together with you at this time. And we want to install you as deacons. Brian is going to lead us in this prayer. Mark is homesick today, but we know he is online with us. And so, Mark, if you would, we'll be praying for you as well. To you men, I ask you that to be the best servant that you can be, to enjoy with the heart of the servant the opportunities that lie before you, to strive to keep building the work here in this place, and to do that with great excellence and enthusiasm. And so I'm going to ask Brian to come lead us in prayer for our six new deacons.
Isn't this a good-looking group of guys here?
Amen.
I think. The good-looking ones we put in the front on purpose.
Yeah.
Now, for our new deacons, you know, Mark and Tim and Will, and Todd, CL, and David, I want you to look out there and I want you to find your families. You see, God's been working on you for a while.
Man.
God was with you when you picked out your spouse, or when she picked you out, maybe it was that way. God was there when you brought your first child home, whether it was from the hospital or whether you adopted a child, and you started growing that family, and you were the leader, and you were bringing them to church and singing songs and reading the Bible to them. God was working on you because God knew you would be here today. He knew you'd be standing here before this congregation, and that this congregation has selected you. They submitted names, and you were approved, and you volunteered. You said, yes, I'll do that. And we're so thankful for that. We're given a couple of scriptures, as Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul says, those who serve well as deacons are making an honorable place for themselves, and they will be very bold in their faith in Christ Jesus. And then Jesus' words, as Jesus gives us an example in John chapter 13, where Jesus was washing feet. And he says, if I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash each other's feet. I did this as an example so that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, a servant is not greater than his master. A messenger is not greater than the one who has sent him. And so we go and we wash feet. We go and we serve. To the congregation, my charge to you, support these men and their families in the work that they do. Please work with them, encourage them, support them, and pray for them. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we present these men to you today, that their desire to take on the service to the next level, being a deacon, and we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for the willingness to serve. We're thankful for the time and the energy that they are willing to offer to serve your church. And Father, we pray that you'll help them to continue to grow spiritually. And as they have successfully led their family as a servant leader, our prayer for them is that they will continue to serve your church here at Spring Meadows. Father, please continue to grant them the kindness and the gentleness that they will need as they serve. And Father, help them to find the balance that they'll need in their daily jobs, being with their family as a leader and serving in the church. We're so thankful for these men and their willingness, and we're thankful for their families and their willingness to serve your church. And Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, yes, you may be seated. Thank you all so much. You know, Brian mentioned it as he made some comments that none of these men down front would be here without their wives. There are a multitude of connections, whether it's God's specific qualifications, but literally the encouragement that our spouses are to us in our service. It's interesting, that word helpmeet is actually a word that talks about to be strengthened by. And in some ways, it's almost this imagery of a fiber within that person, adding them strength. We're thankful for the families, for the wives that are a part of this appointment as well today, because you are a sounding board. You're a plumb line, a measure, a cheerleader, an encourager, and we're grateful for your part in this work as well. I want to ask you, as a congregation, finally, not only to think about the work as it's been laid out, but to think about our part in this charge, for us to follow, for us to love being a part of God's family. We sing that song, "Blessed be the tie that binds," or we're part of a family that's been born again. We need to remember that the greatest days of Spring Meadows are ahead of us. There is a world around us that needs to hear the message. And there is such a great need for us to serve in this place. And it's exciting to think about what God is going to do here. Remember that we want to be patient and encouraging, forgiving, as God in Christ has forgiven us. John 13, the end of that passage, Jesus gave this commandment, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so also you love one another. And it's by this that they will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's a blessing to be a part of a church with such great leadership, to be a part of a church that desires to see this community brought to Christ, not just in this place, but really the world around us, to reach nations for the Lord. I think about the challenge that I would give to you as we follow the leadership. Lift up the elders' hands. Support them. Be eager to assist when asked. Be willing to volunteer. Be ready unto every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having sufficiency in all things, that you may have abundance in every good work." Volunteer. Look for opportunities to serve. Look for ministries that are waiting to be created. Look for spaces in our community where people are hurting that we can step into with the light and the love of Jesus. Be those people that look for places in which to work and places in which to serve. We are blessed to be a part of this family. We're blessed to be challenged to be faithful to the Lord on a regular basis. We're blessed to be able to open God's Word together and to grow and to be challenged to know it more and more, and to know the giver of that Word, to know His Son, and to walk in His Spirit. And may we all strive to be in heaven together one day without the loss of even one. Years ago, I can remember reading a bulletin article, and it was written by one of the elders in the local church, and that was the way it was signed. Our prayer is that we can all be in heaven together one day without the loss of even one. This morning, we're blessed to be able to be together, blessed to be able to have seen this installation. Most of all, we're blessed, as Larry led us, to be exposed and to be taught about the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus. If there's any way we can encourage you today in following Him, we want to do that. If you're struggling, if there's something going on in your life, if you need prayers, please don't hold on to that without reaching out to someone, because we're part of a family. If there's any way we can encourage you this morning, we want to do that as we stand together and as we sing.